I remember a slightly humorous exchange that I once read in an op-ed piece in a newspaper. This newspaper was the student publication at Cal State Fullerton, where I went to college, in conservative Orange County in Southern California. And I used to like to read the op-ed page because there was always a lot of wacky opinions being expressed by my fellow students there. But this one day, they had a, I think, intentionally tongue-in-cheek exchange with an opinion on the right and an opinion on the left, arguing about the political meaning of traffic signs. Well, the guy on the right was arguing as if he was a very conservative Republican, and he was complaining about how whoever designed the freeways in Southern California was obviously a very liberal Democrat, because you couldn't enter the freeway anywhere without seeing a sign that would, either in word or symbol, command you to merge left. Well, on the left-handed side, there was a piece supposedly written by a very liberal Democrat, a young lady who argued, no, on the other hand, she was very offended by all of those signs you see on all the roads around Fullerton. Wherever the street is divided, you'll see that white-black sign that says, keep right. It turned out that both pieces were written by the same person. And of course, this was a tongue-in-cheek attempt at, well, slight humor, playing on those words. But I remember thinking about that if anybody actually read those pieces and took those signs as literal political commands, they would indeed be misreading those signs. And then if someone was to actually go the next step and defy those signs, to see them as obvious political statements and in fact do the opposite, they would then do something that would cause an accident, and rather than be vindicated, they would lead themselves into destruction. And so, you have to make sure that when you read a sign, you understand what it is saying. Well, in the Gospel of John, John identifies the miracles that Jesus performs as signs, semeia, miraculous signs. And as we read and hear, it's good for us to ask, what are they telling us? What are they trying to show us? In particular, the fourth sign that we heard this morning, the feeding of the 5,000, what does this sign tell us? How do we interpret this event? What does it mean? Well, in the framework of John's gospel, it's not really difficult to know. John, at the end of chapter 20, would tell us that this sign and all the signs, they're written so that you would believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you would have life in his name. That sign is recorded there so that you would believe that you would have life in the name of Jesus Christ. All the signs in John's gospel, and then ultimately, that ultimate sign, where Jesus, as the Lamb of God who carries the sins of the world, dies, gives up his life in crucifixion, when he rises from the dead and wishes his disciples peace, and then he who had received the Spirit gives his Spirit to them and sends them to forgive and retain sins. All of these signs are written that you would believe and that you would have life in his name. Jesus is the life and the light of humanity, and he acted that you would have life. In fact, Jesus explains this miracle later on in chapter 6 when he talks to those crowds later on and identifies himself as the bread of life. This bread is his flesh, which he will give for the life of the world. We're to believe in the one whom the Father sent. We're to have eternal life in his name, the hope of the resurrection. We're to eat his flesh and drink his blood. This is what that sign tells us. And it's good to keep this in mind because it's possible to misread the sign. In fact, that's exactly what all those people who ate the bread and the fish did. They misinterpreted it. The text originally ended at verse 14, where we hear the people identify Jesus as the prophet. We added verse 15 today, where it says that he secretly left them because he knew they wanted to force him to be king. In other words, they did not understand. They did not interpret the event correctly. They misunderstood, and so Jesus had to get away from them. Later, when Jesus explains to them what this means, when he says that he is the bread, that he is going to give his flesh for the life of the world, that they must believe in him, that they must receive his body as true food, they don't understand, they don't believe, and they turn away. They misread the sign. Where there are those cliches that are often thrown around, those people were looking for a bread king. They were looking for a political king to drive out the Romans. These may be cliches, but there is truth behind those cliches. But even more than that, those people don't seem to know that they needed the life that Jesus came to give. They didn't know that they needed the new life from the Father, that they were in darkness and death, and Jesus had come to call them out of darkness into life. They wanted another kind of life, another kind of king, another kind of bread than that which Jesus offered to them. But in rejecting Jesus, they don't find life. They found death. That's why this is a good warning to us today that we correctly interpret the sign. For there's a chance that we too might misinterpret, that when we read this miracle, we might be like that crowd and be focusing on a life, a bread, a king that we desire, but isn't the one that God the Father sent for us. Very often in contemporary American Christianity, you'll find people talking about life, Christian life, and if you look at what they're talking about, it looks very much like what that crowd wanted so badly, but not necessarily like the life that Jesus actually gives. In fact, it's very often true that if you read a self-help book written by a Christian, he'll be saying the very same things that a secularist would be saying in the same book, only he'll add the name Jesus a few times. But Jesus is a particular kind of king who gave a particular kind of life, who offers himself as a particular kind of bread, which is his flesh that he gave for the life of the world. And he did this so that you would believe and that you would have life in his name. We're not to misinterpret the sign. Jesus did not come so that you would die, but that he would make you alive. Jesus performed his signs that you would believe and have life. He went to the cross that you would live. He rose again that you would live. He gave his Spirit and continues to give his Spirit that you would have life. He sends his disciples to forgive and retain sins that you would have life. And today, when we celebrate our Lord's Supper, Jesus acts again so that you would have life in his name. And indeed, today, don't wish you were back then to receive those loaves and fish. Today, Jesus acts here. He gives us his bread, which is true food, his body given for us. He gives us his blood, which is true drink, his blood shed for the forgiveness of our sins. He asks you, his people, to come to eat his body and drink his blood, that you would have salvation, that today you would have life, that you would have life in his name. And so we give all of our thanks and praise to our Savior Jesus, who has given his flesh on behalf of the world, and who today gives us his body and blood, that we may eat, drink, and live. Amen.